All right, we're in Job chapter 19. We're looking at verse 25. Now, Job's an interesting book because it's the oldest book in the Bible. You say, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's written probably, most scholars think, about the time of Abraham. People think that Job was contemporary of Abraham. You say, well, Genesis is written first. No, Genesis is written, Abraham lived 400 years before Moses, and Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. It was written about things that happened earlier, but as far as the first book is written, it's Job. And in the Hebrew Bible, Job's the first book of the Bible. It doesn't start with Genesis, just in case you're wondering. So here's the oldest book in the Bible, and this man Job says, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." After worms destroy this body, I'm going to be in the flesh and I'm going to see God. Does he have an idea of resurrection? What else would you call it? "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I'll be in ashes, I'll be in dust, I'll be worm chow, and my own body, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to look at my Redeemer." By the way, it's the first place in the Bible the word Redeemer is used, just in case you're wondering. "I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him for myself. These eyes." Well, Job, those eyes are going to be consumed by worms. They're going to carry him off here and there and every last place. He's like, no, no, I get it. I get resurrection. Job does. Where did he read about that? How do you know about that? I don't know. I have no idea. Let's look at a couple. I'm going to go in the Old Testament. Look at a couple of examples of resurrection in the Old Testament, which I find fascinating because I'm not normal. I read the Bible on several levels. I think you should also, and I'll cover that today. I'll talk about that because I think sometimes people read the Bible, they don't get it. Like, for instance, Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. You say, Adam, this is a resurrection verse? Absolutely. Let's look at it. "And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat." Okay? You say, I missed it. It's subtle. You got to think about it a little while. And by the way, if you're a happy, normal, well-adjusted Bible person, you read that and you go, okay, the ark rested on the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, and you go on to verse 5. If you're happy, well-adjusted, normal. But if you're happy and well-adjusted, normal, my question is, what are you doing here? And the ark rests on the seventh month. In Exodus, when they celebrate the Passover, God does something strange. He changes the months around. He says, okay, this month, it's going to be the beginning of the year from now on. We call it Nisan, okay? It's the month that actually we're in right now in the Hebrew calendar. And the 14th of Nisan, we know from Leviticus, I think it's chapter 23, the 14th of Nisan and the Exodus story is the day of the Passover. It's married to the calendar. So it doesn't come on the same day every year because guess what? If your birthday's on a Monday this year, next year it'll be on Tuesday, I think, or just go the other way, Sunday. I don't remember. It's not on the same day every year. So the 14th of Nisan is 3 days after the 14th of Nisan. Wait a second. Jesus died on the Passover. 3 days later would have been the 17th when he resurrected from the dead. Is this the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on the calendar before it even happened? Yeah. Go and figure. And besides, look at, they're in an ark. Things shaped like a coffin. Anyway, it's worldwide destruction. They're kept from worldwide destruction, safe in the ark of God's safety. The door opens up and they're resurrected, come out of the ark. And what day did that happen? On the Feast of First Fruits, when Jesus rose from the dead, thousands of years before he rose from the dead. So you see something like that and you say, oh yeah, 17th of, yeah, okay, and you go on. Oh, listen, there's not even one word. There's not even one extra word. There's not even anything. It doesn't mean something. And unless we're very careful, we read something like, we go right by something like that and we miss the blessing. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 16. It's a long chapter and we studied it in the past. Leviticus, you know, if you're it's way late at night and you can't get to sleep. You open up to Leviticus and away you go. Not a book to be read, a wonderful book to be studied. We had an excellent study. One of my favorite books to study. Said, Adam, you're joking. I am not. Because of all the stuff that's in it, it's all about Jesus Christ. He's literally on every single page. Now, chapter 16 has to do with Yom Kippur. It's not, Yom is the sea, the restless sea. That's the word for Yom. It's the roaring of the sea. Yom Kippur. Just in case you're wondering. Day of Atonement. Yom Day. Okay, Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur. Now, in this day, they would the priests would have a lot of sacrifices, okay? It's the Day of the Atonement for the whole nation Israel. They'd have like about 50 animal sacrifices, but the main one, the main attraction is they had two goats, and they would settle by lot which goat died and which goat lived. And I don't know exactly how the lottery went, but they select one of the goats and say, okay, you're all done. And the other one, the scapegoat, the one who escaped death, he'd be led out to the wilderness, never to be seen again. It's a picture of our sins being carried far from our presence. What happened to the other unhappy goat? Well, he got his neck slit, and they would catch the blood in a basin. And this day, and only this day, the high priest, and only the high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies behind the veil. The veil, that reminds you, was rent from top to bottom on the day that Jesus died. God symbolizing, there's nothing between us and him anymore. Anyway, that high priest would go in there, not without the blood. Oh, no, that would be hairy, scary stuff. Not without the blood. And he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. What was the mercy seat? It was the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark was, among other things, was the law, the two tablets of stone that God with his own finger written on, thou shalt not. You know, all the what we call the Ten Commandments. Say, yeah, what's the big deal? Oh, listen, the letter of law, the law brings death. We see times in the Old Testament where people looked at that and died, just died. Law came and 3,000 people died. You remember in the golden calf incident and stuff like that? We see it come back from the Philistines captured the ark, and when it came back, the people, I can't remember, I think it was Beth Shemesh, looked in the ark, and thousands died. You don't want to look at the law of God with your bare face hanging out. Stuff will kill you, man. It's nasty, deadly stuff. The law is, yeah, it wasn't ordained to give life. It was ordained to death. It shows us that we're damnable and we're on the outs with God. We've all broken the law. That's the problem. So it's covered up by this solid gold with the cherubim, the mercy seat, right? Mercy. So the priest can actually go in there. He takes the blood of this goat, right, and he sprinkles it on the altar. Now, what happens if he's done it wrong, or if he goes in there without blood, or let's say if he hasn't confessed his sins properly or something like that? Oh, bad stuff would happen. Bad stuff. They tie a rope to him in case he doesn't make it out. Nobody can go in after him. There's no other high priest. So they just reel him out like a tuna on the end of a line. Boy, he's all done. And you remember when they're in there, they have their gown is such so that their robe is such so that they have a bell and a pomegranate all the way around the hem. Why? So he's in there ministering. He's making noise. He stops making noise. What? The holiness of God just, and he's all done. Reel him out. Now think about this. Your sins, that goat died for your sins. Now the high priest is in there making atonement, the Day of Atonement, right? He's in there settling this matter. For another year, your sins are all covered, right? How do you know? God accepts the sacrifice. Well, how would you know if God accepted the sacrifice? The high priest will come back out. If he comes back out in the prone position at room temperature, that's no good. Now, if he just walks back out, you think, oh, God, my sins are gone for a year. It's a picture in the Holy of Holies, a picture of death, very close to it, and resurrection. How do we know that God accepted the blood, Jesus' blood is an atonement for our sacrifice? Our high priest went to the Holy of Holies, did he not? And how do we know? God was satisfied with that. Resurrected him from the dead. Whew. God told us everything we need to know about the state of our sins. Everything. And so there's a picture of that. And so you're reading this Leviticus chapter 16. I'm going to read it to you. That's just too long. But if you read all that, and if you don't get that picture, you got to read it again. You're missing the biggest. What am I reading that for? Okay, can I give you another example? a good one, Genesis chapter 22. Weren't we in Genesis chapter 22? Yeah, for a reason. Method to my madness here, okay? Genesis chapter 22. That's a story of death and resurrection. Did you get it? Look, Isaac is a type. He's a Christ type. Abraham's a type. He's a father type. Right? He's a picture of a father who so loved. First time the word love is in the Bible since chapter 22 of Genesis. Take your son, your only son whom you love. You think of a father who so loved. You're thinking of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Didn't that just happen in the story this morning? Did you see that? I mean, if you didn't see that, if you didn't hear that, you'll miss it. Were you awake? Drink more coffee. Get Red Bull. Just pep yourself up. Can you read through that without seeing those things? Now, Isaac, he's a picture of the son who was obedient even unto death, as it's talked about in Philippians there. Now, he carries the wood up the hill. I mean, and you know, we have an idea because we're victimized by like flannel graphs when we're back in third and fourth grade. And, you know, we got Isaac, he's a little kid, 10 or 12, you know, and where's the lamb? Where's the lamb, Dad? Pops? Hey, Daddy, where's the lamb? Ah, God will provide himself a lamb. Just keep the kid calm and, right? I don't think so. I don't, typologically, how old do you think he is? I think he's 33. That's how old Jesus was when Jesus died. I think he's a son who was willing, obedient, even unto death. Dad, you sure about this? Trust me, son, it's what God said. Okay. God will provide himself a lamb, did he? Well, that's what we're celebrating. That's what the whole season's about, God providing himself a lamb. Did I say verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. I say again, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. You're thinking like, what am I repeating myself? Did I stumble? The text doesn't say that. I said that. For emphasis, I repeated myself. Is that just some happy accident, some coincidence? Look, God came to him and said, listen, Abraham, offer up your son. And then on the third day, it's a three-day journey. God said, offer up your son. In the mind of Abraham, this is a dead man right here. Now, when he goes back with the young men, do you see? That's resurrection. It's a picture of resurrection. Third day is always a hint, by the way, in case you're not sensitive to these things. The Holy Spirit puts markers in that will alert us. Third day. Oh, I get it. They came to the place which God had told them. Oh, verse 5, and Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. How is he going to come again to him? Hebrews will fill us the blank in with that. Let's go there, matter of fact. I was just going to refer to it, but I don't want to get it wrong. Book of Hebrews. Pages are ridiculous. I need a giant computer screen that you can all follow or something up here. I can point and press. Pages. How quaint. This book is in pristine condition. I only teach from it. I don't actually study from it. I study from computer screen, mouse clicks. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his what? Only begotten son. Ha! What a coincidental phrase that the Holy Spirit just kind of put in there for our edification. His only begotten son. Was he his only begotten son? No. Ishmael's born at this time. He's probably, just this point, it's like 50 years old. Close to 50. 45-ish. His only son? Only son that God counted. Just so you know. But Isaac's the one in which thy seed shall be called. It says, verse 18, of whom is said, that's to say Isaac, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, this is Abraham, listen to this now. Did you get this out of Genesis chapter 22? You should have. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, we call that resurrection. God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, King James, he did raise him up figuratively. That's the point. That's what he's saying. That's what the author of Hebrews is telling us. Isaac did resurrect. Resurrect. I'm using my ditto fingers. People on the radio won't see the ditto fingers. He did resurrect. Figuratively, he was dead. Kill your son. Burnt offering. You don't live through that, okay? 3 days journey. The offering comes. No, don't kill him. But he says, me and the young man, we're going to come back. We're going to go worship God yonder. We're going to come back. What is Abraham saying? Listen, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He had no children yet. God's promised me to be the father of many nations. And he's got to resurrect them. That's all there is to it. Abraham figured it out. Hebrews tells us. Again, that third day, that's kind of key. Can I show you another third day? Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't see evolution in there. While we're on the subject, And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Day one, let there be light. Let light be, literally, is what he's saying there. Let light be. There was light. Why? Because that's how God is. And God saw the light, that it was good. Was the light good? Yeah, God saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Say, okay, God created light. Big whoop. Actually, it kind of is. Let's go to John. Keep your finger here. We'll come back to here. Get your little bulletin inserted here. We'll go to John chapter 1. Remember, Genesis starts out, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. What's John start out with? Because it's kind of reminiscent, my thinking of this. John chapter 1. In the beginning, fancy that. What a coincidence. In the beginning was the Word. Remember, God spoke, let light be. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos in the Greek. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we know if we drop down to verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about Jesus Christ is the Word. Capital W there in your Bible? Good. It's talking about a person. It's talking about the person of persons, our Creator God, Jesus Christ. Why do you say that, Adam? Because of the next few verses. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, this Word person. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ the Creator? Absolutely. That's what it says right there. In Him was life, good, groovy, and the life was the and the life was the light of men, yeah, and the light shineth in darkness, right, and the darkness comprehended not, or the idea is apprehended it, the idea of overcame it is the idea, okay. Now, there was a man from God whose name was John. He's talking about the witness of John the Baptist here. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L. The writer of John and the King James Version people, capital L, good. That's right. That's that light. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Who? The world knew who not? Jesus. That true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Wow, that's incredible. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Now think about it this way. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's the incarnation. God didn't create Jesus. Jesus is God, like God the Father, okay? He begot him. What does that look like? I have no idea. I have no earthly idea. The only begotten of the Father. Does that have to do with the incarnation? Has to be, because Jesus is at the same time God is, forever. God saw the light, I put capital L there, that it was good. Jesus good? Yeah. And God divided the light from the darkness. Oh, man, just sounds like John chapter 1. Or does John chapter 1 sound like Genesis? Same author, Holy Spirit of God. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So God looks on it, he says, it's good. And in the second day, there's no blessing. On the third day, there's a double blessing. Do you know that? You thought it was all good, right? Second day, it didn't say it's good. Just an oversight, right? Not if you believe Scripture like I believe Scripture. And on the day of the third day, it's a double blessing. It's good and it's very good. We'll look at that here in a moment. So if Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 is talking about the incarnation, what does day 2 hold in store for us? Now this is, by the way, I want you to understand this. I'm a literalist when it comes to the Bible. On day 1 of creation, God really did said, let light be, and light was. Now I'm talking about figuratively. I'm talking about the picture behind what's going on here. And I want you to understand that's two levels of meaning. I'm not saying, I don't know how to say it. Yom Kippur really happened. It's a picture of the one who would come, Jesus Christ, who would die for our sins, who would be poured out on the mercy seat, as it were, and expiate our sins. And it's also a picture of Jesus is also the goat is the scapegoat. It's also a picture of Jesus who carries our sins far away. As how far away? As far as the east is from the west. Your sins and your iniquities, I'll remember them no more. Hallelujah. Jesus says, you search the Scriptures, you think in them you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Well, how is the Scripture testifying of you? Genesis chapter 8, the mountain, the ark came to rest. The ark, which is Jesus, right, who saves us from the wrath of God, right? Three decks, one door. I mean, all these things. It's just, if you can read the Old Testament, not see Jesus Christ on every page, you're not reading it right. Now, you're saying, Adam, I never heard this stuff here before. I don't know if it's true. Well, you know, search it out for yourself. And some of these things I'm saying about, have you ever heard this before, anything like this? Some of you have, to some degree. You're nodding. Some people, like, they just read it on a surface level. I think they miss all the blessing. I like to be there when the light bulb just, someone has a little... A moment of awakening. You know, we were talking about the Passover lamb. We were studying and with a friend way back in the day, and he goes, wait a second. It's like he discovered America all over again. It's like, wait a second, the Passover lamb, that's like Jesus, right? You put the blood over the door and the death angel doesn't, yeah. I thought it was so obvious it didn't need him, and he was like, it was discovery time for him. You know what I mean? But that's great. That's great. So I opened the Bible. Oh, Lord, show me Jesus today in these Scriptures. Does he? This is great joy too. Day 2, the day of no blessing. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmaments and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the second and the... in the evening and the morning with a second day. Do you see any, is this good? It's not good. So he made the firmament. The firmament, what is that? That which is firm? Well, no, it's that which separates. A firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. I can show you Old Testament Scriptures that show the waters of people groups. Specifically Gentiles, mostly when it's talking about this. Here we don't have any Gentiles at this point because, I mean, everyone's Gentile. There's no one called out. There's no one who's Jewish at this point. So what are the waters separate? What is the firmament separating? Waters from the waters or peoples from people? This is the cross of Jesus Christ. Doesn't it separate people from people? Eternally. Only eternally. Where you're going to end up eternally just depends on your view of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is that thing that separates the waters from the waters. Jesus said, he says, listen, you think I've come to promote peace? I ain't come to bring peace, but a sword. Oh, yeah, people in the same household. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. I always think about you. She's the only daughter-in-law I have. Her and her mother-in-law are fast friends. They're just, so, not always, but I mean, you know, your enemies will be in your own household. You say, yeah, I know some of you guys. You're saying, yeah, welcome to my life. I know, because the firmament separates waters from waters. That's what it does. It separates the waters which are above the firmament from the waters below, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven. Listen, this is not even on the earth anymore. Our gaze is heavenward. Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Where's the blessing? Where's the blessing? How come this isn't a blessing? Because it pictures the cross, the place of curse. Say, Adam, you really think it does? That's a little vague for me. Well, if it is, okay, so be it. Look at the third day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so that God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Now we have it, he's back to being good again. This is good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. This is still day three. The herb yielding seed and the fruit and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Again, he saw that it was good. So we got two goods, the day of double blessing, the evening and the morning with the third day. A rabbi would read that, and he says, the third day is the day of double blessing. Well, of course the third day is the day of double blessing. The third day is the picture of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. Even some Jewish marriages, a lot of Jewish people get married on the third day, because it's a day of double blessing. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's Tuesday, okay? Third day from what? The third day, okay? Just in case you're wondering. If you go to a Jewish friend's wedding, it's on Tuesday, thinking, Tuesday, that's really weird. It's a day of double blessing. They would see that and say, wow, and it's the only day that has double blessing. So I don't see it as being the picture of resurrection. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. Up out of under the ocean, right? Let the dry land appear. And it was so. You say, that's kind of subtle. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. What color is grass? It is the color green. It's the color of life. Now, we're looking at life, that where non-life was before. Okay? First, he created what? Light. Is light living? No. Not small L light. Second, he created what? The firmament. Is the firmament life? No. Day three, now we have life. Resurrection? I'm saying it's a picture of resurrection. We got green grass now. Let the earth bring forth the herb yielding seed and the fruit. Now we got fruit. What besides the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings fruit? You say it's a picture. I think it's a picture. You say, I don't know. I don't know if I see that. Well, I can tell you a lot about Scripture. You see it or you don't. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you're a heretic, right? Well, generally, yes. But here I'm going to give you a little leeway, okay? Here, it's a little hazy. Like I say, you either see these things or you don't. But I want you to understand that there's a lot more going on in this book than just the surface level reading. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. I'm giving you a few examples. I can go on and on and on and preach all day and all night on resurrection. I can do it. Why? Because it's a favorite topic of the Holy Spirit, and he comes back to it and back to it and back to it and back to it. If you come on the idea of third day in Scripture in the Old Testament, it says, and on the third day, you know, wait a second, third day, I'm a Christian. Third day means something to me. And you should diligently search out that Scripture. I'll bet each and every time you're going in for a Holy Ghost blessing. He's going to try to be showing you something, telling you something about the Scripture. Okay, where am I? I'm in Mark chapter 12, verse 18. These people who don't believe there's a resurrection. Now, that is tragic and that is sad. I don't believe in a resurrection. I know these people, right? Nihilists and others, atheists. I'm going to go to the ground. I'm going to become compost. And I'm going to go into the great nothingness. Hallelujah. You got any brochures, any literature on that? Where can I join? That sounds nifty. That's just wonderful stuff there. Sadducees say there's no resurrection. Then come unto him, the Sadducees, verse 18, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Good Sadducees. You read the Bible, you read the Old Testament. You're correct, by the way. They are correct. Now, there were seven brethren, hypothetical. He's telling us, the Sadducees are going to tell Jesus this ridiculous story. There were seven brethren. The first took a wife and died, left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had Zsa there and left no seed. Okay, someone got it. That was good. Okay, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. But the fourth brother thinking like, forget about it. it ain't happening. I want out. But all seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. This ridiculous story is supposed to illustrate to Jesus that there's no such thing as a resurrection. How ridiculous could that be? It's wonderful, great theology, you Sadducees. Really, really good, really solid. Jesus answering said, and fold in the element of sarcasm in my voice there, by the way. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scripture, neither the power of God? Let me explain a few things to you, Jesus is saying. You are messing up so hard. Why? You don't know the scripture. What scripture? Well, some of the ones I just shared with you. How come they read that same stuff you and I just read and they didn't see it? How come they didn't see it in Genesis chapter 22? That was one of their favorite scriptures. They didn't see Isaac dead and resurrected, figuratively. How come they didn't see that? Man, you're messing up. You don't know scripture, he says, and you don't know the power of God. Those are that strike one, strike two. Those are big strikes. Four, let me explain the program to you guys. When they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. You don't get married in heaven. Why? Because you don't need to procreate. Because people don't die. You'll live forever. I got my bid in early with my bride. I said, if they let us like hang out together and like live in the same place, can I? And she said, yes. So just eternally, we're all locked up, okay? Because the first thing was till death do us part, but now I got like eternally, if they let us. But we can't marry. We can't marry because we're the bride of Christ. We're married to Jesus Christ, okay? So that's how the thing works. And I'm good with that, okay? And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read? Now, when he says, have you not read, he's insulting them. People would come to a scribe or a Pharisee or to a Sadducee with a Bible question. And they would invariably say, have ye not read? Like they're looking over the top of the glasses. You dullard, you simpleton, have ye not read? Now Jesus is giving them a taste of their own medicine. Have ye not read? They're Sadducees. They're all about the Bible, right? Have ye not read, he says. Have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Therefore, you do greatly err. I got to tell you something. Someday I'll die. Probably, possibly, maybe. We'll talk about a loophole here directly. Someday I'll die. They'll have some sort of service or something, okay? I won't be there. I won't know. I don't have much to do with the planning of it. Don't care. Don't want to know, don't want to care. Told Suze, cremation's just the same with me. If people want to get together, you know, have some, deli meats and sandwiches, and that's how they do, right? Want to remember, he was a knucklehead, but we loved him yet. And it'll be, and maybe there'll be some remains or at least some ashes or something. Oh, someone will cry. I don't know. We'll hire professional wailers or something. Someone will cry, and they'll say, someone will say, he's dead. And I hope somebody has enough wherewithal to say, he's not. He believed in Jesus Christ, the God of the living, not the God of the dead. You've got to understand that. This changes everything. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know where he's going to go there? I was just going to go right to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today and spend the whole time there. I'm going to go fast and furious, and I'm going to cover a lot of ground. Stay up with me best you know how. Start in verse 35. Now, it doesn't start in verse 35. It really starts way back at the beginning of the chapter. I want to get to a certain place. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body they come? Thou fool. Hey, stupid. Now, look. You say, no, fool in Scripture has to do with belief, not lack of intellect. Both. And here, he's saying, hey, brainless. He's saying, no, he's not saying that. Yes, he is. Paul's saying this. Because some are going to say, some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body they come? And Paul's saying, give it the program. Listen here, brainless. Listen here, knucklehead. This is what you got to know about that. Because some people are going to be like this. Okay, resurrection, right? Okay, let's say so some guy is like, he's like going through the desert, right? And he's running out of water. Now he's crawling on his hands and knees, and he dies, right? Okay? And so there he is, dead in the desert. And some buzzards come, And they pick him all apart like buzzards do, and they take him off to who knows where. And now he passes through the buzzards to, on a pasture land somewhere where there's green grass, where cattle are grazing. So this poor guy who died in the desert, who's a Christian, by the way, the cows come and they eat the grass, and so parts of this guy are in these cows that later get butchered, and the guy's grandson, you know, buys one of these steaks he eats him and stuff, and part of this is, so how does he get resurrected? Because isn't that the story they all come up with, silly things like, what about a guy who was in a fire, or what about a guy who was eaten by cannibals, or what about a... Listen, brainless, Paul saying. Listen, knucklehead. And I'm telling you, saying, Adam, he's not really saying. He really is. Or he's saying, like Jesus says, have you not read? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Listen, you know why that's a stupid question? Because you missed a lot. You didn't figure out something. You know what we're always supposed to say? Like people call up like to every man an answer. And they always say, even if it's a dumb question, they say, oh, that's a really good question. And I'm all yelling, Philly yelling at the right. It's not a good question. It's a stupid question. It was because somebody in the question is trying to get their agenda across. And I just sit there and they're all gracious. If I had that show, it'd be like two episodes an hour. It would be because, you know, I'd be, hey, what kind of question is that, knucklehead? And people wouldn't call anymore. It'd be terrible. Thou fool, that which sowest is not quickened except to die, and it's all around you. And and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It shall may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Listen, it's all around you. One, it's in the Old Testament, but two, think of a seed. You put it in the ground, right? Oh, put it in the ground. You mean bury it? You know, you talk about people getting buried, you know? What happens then? Resurrection. The picture of it. You see it all around you every day. How come this is so hard for you to figure out? Is that seed live? It's got life in it. And under the right conditions, they found seeds that's over 4,000-year-old wheat seed in the pyramids and planted it, it grew. I mean, stuff is like so brittle, if you hit it with a hammer, it'd break like glass. You put it in the ground, and it's dark and moist, and it starts to spring to life. 4,000-year-old seed. God built it good, didn't he? And the roots go down, the stem comes up, and it's grain, harvestable, eatable grain. Incredible stuff. Hey, fool, it's all around you. How come you didn't notice that? You put it in the ground, it comes up. What's the difficulty here? Especially, we got God involved in the process, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. And flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. I like all them. Poultry and, you know, beef and fish. It's all good, but it's all different. Yeah, I agree with that. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For each star differeth from another star in glory. How did Paul know that? Incredible. We only learned that like a couple dozen years ago. Paul had access to better information than ours. We were looking through the Hubble telescope. He was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who created the stars, different in glory from each other. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Any questions? It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. What's your body going to look like in resurrection? It's going to look like the celestial. It's going to look like the, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, incorruptible body. I like that. No bruises, no these. Well, I have to see the dentist? No. Unless he's a friend of mine in heaven who just happened to be a Christian dentist and we want a fellowship together. Will I have to see a dentist professionally in heaven? No. Proctologist? No. Go on. Lawyers in heaven? Maybe one. I don't know. But if you're a doctor in heaven, you're going to find a different occupation. You're not. Matt will still have a job. There'll be worship leaders in heaven. Me, I'll be out of a job. Nobody needs to teach the Bible. Everyone will know it all by themselves. Besides, if you're going to get a Bible lesson in heaven, it'll be somebody a lot more capable than me. But Matt will still have a job. Just in case you were thinking about retirement, forget about it, okay? Is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural, there's a spiritual body. Looking forward to it. How old? 33, if you ask me. Just say, why do you think that? That's how Jesus was when he resurrected from the dead. 30-something, eternal state, not just an old TV show. Yeah, I kind of like that. When you're 50, you think, 33, pretty cool. Besides, it doesn't matter. It's the eternal body anyway. Because you know why I think that? We can have like babies in heaven. Like you had a child die of crib death. Do you have a miscarriage or abortion? You think someone's aborted eternally? I don't think so. I don't think it works that way. A little crib death, baby died at 1 month old, a little 1 month old running around heaven all, you know, I don't know. I don't think so. I think 33. So, you know, old lady, husband dies and stuff like this. She's up to pearly gates, as the story goes. Ain't like that at all. Who's that guy over there making eyes at me, that young, handsome guy, you know, with all his hair and his big barrel-chested, just all and stuff? Who's that? Who's that guy? He's acting all, that's your husband. No, my husband, he was like, is this wide? And he was bald, and he was had no teeth left. And no, it's a resurrected body. You can't, it's not like the old body that's decaying out from under us right here, right now. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. You got to go through the natural to get to the supernatural, the spiritual. That's the way it works, okay? First man is of the earth, earthly. Yeah. Second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. That's one of the reasons I believe in the new resurrected body would be like Jesus' body, who, by the way, walked through walls. You remember, they're in the upper room. Doors are locked. They're in hiding. They don't want to come, have the Romans come and crucify. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like right there. Things like walls and locked doors don't stress him out at all. Could he do that before? He never did. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, you know, he's talking to them 1 minute. You know, he's with the Emmaus disciples. They're sharing dinner. He's gone right out of the midst. So you have a body that kind of moves real quick and stuff like walls don't stress it out. And you say, really, Adam? I really think so. I think it's as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You're not going to go to heaven the way you are now, okay? And besides, flesh and blood don't inherit the kingdom of God. You can't will it to your kids or your grandkids, put it in the will. You get my eternal life. It doesn't work that way. But this body does not inherit the kingdom of God. Can't. Wouldn't enjoy heaven. Not built for heaven. Think of the eyes, heaven eyes. And we see like what? The color spectrum. What do heavenly eyes behold? Like all the way from ultraviolet over to infrared and everything in between? I don't know. You have sounds that you'd be able to differentiate. I think of like the sights and sounds and smells of heaven. I think you see like a rose in heaven and you're just like, oh, that's why God invented noses. That's why God gave us a sense of smell. I really think. And everything here that we have here that's good just kind of pales by comparison. But we can't inherit heaven in these bodies. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Put that on the nursery. That's a good verse for that. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But we shall not all sleep. Euphemism for death, but we shall all be changed. How's that going to work? Well, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Adam, that sounds like the rapture. You mean the resurrection? Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's the, you call it the rapture? I've always hated that. Just that term, because why? Because to the degree you don't know that's the resurrection, we have dead people rising from the dead. I call it a resurrection, not what you call it, okay? To the degree that's happening, it's resurrection. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, right? Dead people rising out of the graves, and then we shall be changed. metamorphosized, just put on that eternalness in the twinkling of an eye, an atomos, the smallest amount of time. Will it be a big, long process like a caterpillar in a cocoon? Nah, it's going to be so instantaneous you wouldn't be able to count it, count the time that's passed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And one song, Jaws of Clay, he said, the singer says, I'm going to pirouette on my grave. Me, I'm going to do the happy monkey dance. I don't do pirouettes. I'm just going to, when you figure out death, when you finally figure it out, it's such a temporary thing, and it's so transitional. It's so nothing. It's so, death is not the final enemy. It's nothing. It's just, figure this out. We're all dying, right? Yeah. Big deal. On the other side of it's resurrection. It doesn't faze me. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't worry me. I'm not a guy who's like, oh God, don't let me die. Oh God, don't let me die. Oh God. People like that. They're worried their whole life about death. And me, I'm like, I'll kill you. That's the best you can do? That all you got? You're going to send me home to be with Jesus? You're going to have resurrected bodies? That's all you got? Well, you got to figure this out, because once you understand death, it's got nothing. It's empty. Death, where's your sting? Ain't nothing but a thing. Jesus threw such a whipping on death. This is what we're celebrating. Look at the sting of death. If it has any sting at all, it's sin. And the strength of sin is the law. I told you, you open up that mercy seat and look inside. Stuff is nasty. It'll kill you. Death does have a sting. It's called sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an empty tomb. Hey, stay in it. He says, I have life. I'm giving you life. You're mine. Death, been there, done that, Jesus said. Wasn't all that scary. I just put death in a headlock and I put a beating on the grave and you don't have to fear it anymore. This is worth celebrating. Don't you see? This changes everything about everything. Everyone you know is scared of death and we're like, what? It's nothing. Less than nothing. It's not even worth talking about. It's a means to an end. It's the way a resurrection happens. And maybe you won't even get that far. Maybe this year, maybe this week, we'll hear a trumpet.
Come up here.
Whew, gone. What? In the twinkling of an eye. We're going to meet him in the air. Be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another, these words. These words not very comfortable. So I don't know if I'd like to be way up there. I get scared of heights. No, not in the new body you won't. Say it's cold up there. There's not any oxygen. You don't need it in your new lungs. They don't even worry about oxygen. Cold, your new thermal heating doesn't do cold, doesn't do heat, doesn't do nosebleeds at altitude, doesn't do none of that stuff. You'll be just especially you guys, you're just going to be the superhero you always wanted to be, you know? I never really gave up on that dream. And I'm telling you, this is totally scriptural. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because there's resurrection. There's a time we're going to stand before God in a new body. He's going to reward all the stuff that we're doing all the time. It's because there's resurrection. My time's spent. I know. I'm going to stop here. And just, it is what it is. And why don't you come here and send us out of here in a song, Matt. Why don't you guys stand, we'll pray. It's a good day. Good day to get together with family, Lord, with friends. Beautiful weather you've given us. But the thing you've given us, Lord, is victory over the grave and over death. There's no sting left. It's got nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For hope is better than anything we could have imagined or asked for, and certainly better than we deserved. Lord, we just praise and thank you. Help us to keep these thoughts in our heads for the rest of the day and right throughout, Lord. We should never go very far from, stuff gets to us, Lord. racism and hatred and war, and all is just transitional. It's all passing. We're going to live forever in your presence. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.